following the comfortable words that we use as a preface to our contemplative exercises, come the injunction from the Lord, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And in view of the fairly strong opposition to silence wherever and whenever, let's recall ourselves to that discipline and do our best to maintain the silence and stillness to which we are called, taking this yoke upon us and learning therefore from him. We shall learn so much more easily if we can accept that particular discipline, I think, and maintain as best we may the ambience of silence and stillness wherein, as Isaiah says, lies our strength. Bearing that in mind, we hear once again the invitation to come into the stillness of his abiding presence. In those great words, come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Come unto me, and I will refresh you. Sacred time. In the sacred time arrangement, Easter stands supreme. The resurrection is the glory of our faith. The resurrection has been celebrated by Christians from the very start. Christmas, I might say, took at least 200 years to be celebrated in any respect. And we tend, I think, to overdo Christmas, important though it is, with respect, by comparison, I should say, with the feast of the resurrection of the Lord. So here is a fourth or perhaps fifth century Easter office hymn, or part of it, to set the scene for us. The day draws on with golden light. Glad songs go echoing through the height. The broad earth lifts an answering cheer. The deep makes moan with wailing fear. For lo, he comes, the mighty king, to take from death his power and sting, to trample down his gloomy reign and break the weary prisoner's chain. Enclosed he lay in rocky cell with guard of armed sentinel. But thence returning strong and free, he comes with pomp of jubilee. The sad apostles mourn him slain, nor hope to see their Lord again. But now they put their grief away. Pains of hell are loosed today. Maker of all, to thee we pray, fulfill in us thy joy today. When death assails, grant, Lord, that we may share thy paschal victory. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. The words, of course, come in the context of the story of the raising of Lazarus, which in itself is a kind of foretaste of that which is to come, greater still, the raising to life forevermore of Christ. For Lazarus, once raised, must die again. But Christ says, I am alive forevermore. the words to be found in the first chapter of Revelation. But to keep our feet on the ground, these great words of resurrection and life are set in the context of domestic simplicity, the household of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Mary, usually the sign or symbol of the contemplative life, Martha, the busy life. St. Gregory the Great said, "The active life is a service, the contemplative life a liberty." Let's not make too much of it. I think the two come together and should be held in balance. And certainly the second collect for morning prayer in the Book of Common Prayer brings them neatly together. The author of peace and lover of concord, in whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom. The service and the freedom go together within the Christian context. Our generation is so very much in need of this word of the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. Those of us who are responsible for taking lots of funeral services realize only too often how so many people appear to be totally deprived and without any resources to draw on, now that the church has to a large extent lost its theology of death. And it is difficult to preach the resurrection to a godless generation. And yet it is desperately sad, and one does one's best, because resurrection and life are essential to well-being. Let us now prepare our minds to receive these wonderful words of the Lord, words that form the preface or should of every funeral service anyway, whether, as we say in our prayer of thanksgiving, they are received, ignored or rejected. They are the word of the Lord, and we will hear them in the stillness and quiet of our first silence. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. One of the great I am sayings, of course, in the Gospel according to St. John. Be as well to remind ourselves that the Greek ego, eimi, I am, is a deliberate emphasis on those words, which would be found also in the Hebrew or even the Aramaic that lie behind them. And they constitute the truest name of God, which is why when Jesus used them, at least on one occasion, the Jews took up stones to throw at him, accusing him of blasphemy, as I suppose it must have seemed to them, for they could hear but not understand his words. Subconsciously, the guards who came to arrest him, according to St. John, in the garden when Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "Ego I me," which is translated often, "I am he," but of course is the words "I am." And says St. John, when the guards heard those words, they drew backward and fell to the ground, for they heard the sacred name of God. And here it is being used in the face of death itself. And that is what the Gospel is all about. The Gospels do not explain the resurrection, says one writer. The resurrection explains the Gospel. How are we to imagine the resurrection of Christ? The answer is, says Hans Küng, not at all. Raising up and resurrection are metaphorical, pictorial terms as used for awakening and rising from sleep. But with waking and rising from death, there is no question of returning to the wakeful state of ordinary life, but of a radical transformation into a wholly different, unparalleled, definitive state, eternal life. Here there is nothing to be depicted, imagined, or objectified. It would not be a different life at all if we could give it visual shape with the aid of ideas and images drawn from our ordinary life, so to speak, as a heightening and transcending of everyday wishes and yearnings into a paradisially depicted heaven. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do, of course, and many other sects as well. The things that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, says St. Paul, neither our eyes nor ears nor our imagination can help us here. They can only mislead us. The new life remains something for which we can hope, but which is beyond our vision or imagination. The Latin phrase totalita aliter, totally otherwise. Language here reaches its limits. And so it does, but reality is there, and we have great and good grounds for our belief. That which we can accept, and then through God's grace share with others. I am is alive forevermore. When I go on a bereavement visit, it is my custom to make the sign of the cross on the doorpost and to say quietly, "I am the resurrection and the life." That always helps. Now we'll receive the words more deeply into our hearts so that we become more worthy to use them in intercession. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. We prepare our wills to exercise our wills in proclaiming this word of the Lord to those who need it most. In general terms, we can first consider those who are perhaps close to death, either because they are themselves coming to the end of their earthly life, or because they have by choice or by no choice to be close to those who are dying or terminally ill. And thereafter we can think of those perhaps who are dead in the spirit, with little or no faith perhaps known to us, and name them if we wish to do so as part of our intercession. Just take a moment to receive this word into our will. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. All you, my people, hear the words at my mouth. I am the resurrection and the life. And you, my people, any whom we now name, in need of our prayers this time, whether aloud or in the silence of our hearts, we thank you for all your unsearchable riches, which pour forth from you as light pours from the sun, in boundless generosity and profusion, whether received, ignored, or rejected. We thank you for the glorious gospel of resurrection, and that you are alive forevermore. And once again we offer to you, insofar as we are able, an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness. Ourselves, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.